Hello there. Welcome to Friday Night Conversation. It's great to have you with us here. It's the, what date is it today?
26th
of March. I should have known that because yesterday was my wedding anniversary, 25th no. of March. 15 years married to my wonderful wife, Lydia. And we had a wonderful day yesterday, a wonderful cooked lamb.
Oh,
and very also nice. We had a wonderful day yesterday. Locally, we didn't go anywhere, didn't fly off anywhere. Or anything. It was Beacon Hill. Anyway, great to have you with us tonight. I hope you're all good. What a strange season it's been, but here we are. It looks like spring is kind of starting to spring, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I read on the thing that we're in for a little heat wave next week as well, so that's all looking really good.
Exciting.
And it's just what you need, especially at the end of, because it's been a particularly cold winter, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking tonight about 1 year on from the lockdown. We're basically having the first anniversary of lockdown, a year that's changed our lives. It's changed everything. I think the reverberations of this experience as well will go very, very much into the future as well. And so we want to just talk about that tonight, maybe lessons that we've learned from the lockdown, how we've learned to trust God through this weird season, how much we value God's house, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll have a chat about that tonight. And I don't have any pre-planned questions. So I got to give you a heads up. This is either going to be brilliant, and if it's a disaster, it's Jonah Dykes' fault. I just want to state that now categorically, okay? But I've got some great people. We've got Josie with us tonight.
Hi, everyone.
And then we've got Jonah and Becca. They're sitting together because they're a married couple.
Hello. That's right. In a bubble.
And so they're permitted to do, they're permitted to do that. So they're going to be having a chat tonight. Then we've got a special surprise tonight. We've got Gord Kuuma here. And Gord's just an amazing guy. You've been you've been with us now for what, five, 6 years?
Yeah, something like 4 or 5 years.
Easily.
Like that. Yeah.
You are getting very old. I must say, but in a good way.
Part of the furniture.
You're part of the furniture. And then, of course, Angie Coppo is with us tonight. You're pretty much here. Part of the furniture every Friday night.
Friday
conversation. And, listen, so, by the way, just to give you a bit of a heads up, we're looking then, after, because obviously church is going back again not this Sunday, but next.
Come on.
Wow. First Sunday in April.
Hey.
And obviously next Friday is going to be Good Friday, so we're not going to be having a Friday night conversation then because we've got some Good Friday services happening at the Junction Church. So the way we're going to do it is we're going to do it once a month. Friday Night Conversation is going to have once a month, final Friday of every month. And we're going to have a really good chat. And we thought that's the best way to do it because the brighter nights will be coming in. And hopefully, pray to God, this lockdown thing is going to ease with all the people being vaccinated and so on. You know, surely, how can there be a third wave when there's 30 million people?
You're looking at me. It's not me. I didn't
come
do
on,
it.
Becca. Honestly, you're the representative of the NHS.
The whole of the NHS.
Anyway, lockdown 1 year. So let's go to Jonah and Becca first because you guys got married in 2019.
Yes, sir.
And so you were just entering into married life, and then suddenly six months into married life, lockdown hits.
It's good, isn't it?
It's good. So Becca's very positive, you see. How has that been then? Obviously, for a newly married couple, because all the things we'd like to. Of course, being in Leicester as well. Like the little period when everybody, when there was no lockdown, you were still locked down in Leicester.
The Wuhan of the Midlands, we like to call it.
And again, I want to know why were you responsible for that?
See, that's you, that's not me.
Because again, this will be helpful for, as a newly married couple. How have you dealt with it all? How have you stayed sane and lessons? We're talking about we're really trying to get the lessons that we've learned through lockdown. Yeah. So talk to me about the lessons you've learned.
Look at that, Jonah, straight looking at me. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, we were thinking about this earlier, weren't we, when we talked about the topic. We thought one of the most important things for us was to keep having fun. Yep. I think it was the biggest thing. Because it's quite difficult, actually, when you kind of think, we like to go out, have food, see a film, see other people, maybe.
Like friends.
Something,
Exactly.
Sorry, you have friends?
Well, we used to, but
lockdown.
Wow. No, No, but that, you know, how to have fun and keep things lighthearted, especially when you're reading lots of difficult news, when you have jobs that are still hard work and they've changed and you're working from home and you can't see all the people that you want to and couldn't have church in person. There's lots of things that we couldn't do. How to keep a mindset of what can we do instead of that, and having different fun, you know, like cooking together or something, or having staycations. That's a new venture, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Because we definitely find that, you know, we love to, you know, as much as we enjoy spending time, you know, the two of us, like, we really love to go and spend time with just like other people, like together as well. And that is something that we just find like really, really helpful and just fun for laughter and stuff. All that stuff's just good for good for the soul, isn't it? But obviously then when that's removed, I mean, we definitely still really value those friendships, relationships, didn't we? Like, I mean, being able to like pick up the phone and call people, I think, has been a huge like lifeline, you know, for us, I think. But then on top of that, I think, you know, as Becca said, just doing what you can to just get outside. It's really easy when you're just in the house a lot, like on a Saturday, and it's just the, you know, the two of you, there's not much you can do. You can almost just feel a bit pent up and like cabin fever. So we found just getting out and about as well, just like, you know, that was something, and just giving each other a lot of grace and
so
space.
So you're still together.
I mean, Becca started talking about
that's the whole point of it. It's gone a long way. I just wanted to know you're still married. You're giving me a lot of detail here, you know, and I just want to make sure that you're still together.
That's
as a couple,
next,
you know,
month's episode, I think.
To be continued.
The big announcement. I totally get that, because it has been a very intense season, hasn't it, really? And it's been very, everything's just been thrown up in the air, hasn't it?
So true. I think it was interesting with our experiences, because our work experience was very, very different, because Becca was going out Monday to Friday, working in the hospitals, obviously seeing all the COVID patients, treating COVID patients. That was like very intense for you, wasn't
it? Yeah, crazy, I think. But then, you know, on the flip side, you were then having to like stay at home and work from home and live in like one room basically, which was where you were like relaxing and working and socializing and you know, doing everything. And I think for both of us, anyone who knows both of us, that's probably like the reverse of what our personalities would work for. Like, I would work better in my own space at home alone, and Jonah would work better out with the people. But
as it was fun, Becca would come home and then she would just be, I'd just be like, oh, how's your day? She'd be like, oh yeah, it was good. How was yours? And then it would just be like, we'd emerge like the 20 minutes later. I just would have been talking continuously. She'd just be like, well, your system, it's good.
Now, Gordon, you used to be an introvert. And then, as you said to me before we came on tonight, that you're learning to love people now. Sorry, so how has lockdown been for you?
I think...
Because you were an introvert, though, weren't you?
I'm a little bit of everything, not a lot of anything.
You're like, what a description.
I don't know. Basically, at the start, I loved it because I just had some time to just do my own thing. But then, obviously, after a while, that does get dangerous, and you need to be careful that you're not just locking yourself in your room, doing what you want kind of thing. And so what I started to do was kind of think about what I could do, and I realized that actually I could take some time to reconnect with my family a lot and just make sure those connections were strong, and talk to people over Instagram, WhatsApp, whatever it is, just like share a joke, a meme, something like that, as long as it's not just me.
Any memes you want to share here?
I would, but you can find them on Instagram. they're a dime a dozen. And I just, after a while, I found, so yeah, that was helpful to be able to connect with people after a while over those different platforms. And then also to kind of have some time to slow down and also be able to write some songs, which has been really nice for me. And not necessarily songs to release or anything, but just songs that just for the sake of writing songs, because I've always found music to be...
Are they like lovey-dovey songs?
I guess some of them, but not really. I mean, what do you write songs about? I think just for me, it's always been very therapeutic to have music as something that I, whenever I have free time to kind of take some time to play guitar, piano, whatever it is. And just that's how I always unwind, and that's how I keep my kind of mental health on on point. Just to, that's something that I found really useful. So those are some of the things I found really kind of helpful.
I guess that you know, we've been able to see quite a lot, you know, you a lot because of church and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And all through that, even though
recording
we were
online services.
Yeah, exactly. We were still recording online services, and that weekend kind of coming to church and actually seeing people when we, because I think at the start we did one big one and then we had some time when we couldn't. And then when we came back, that was just such a breath of fresh air to be in that environment again and just to be able to kind of banter with people in the same room. That was really refreshing, and like you said, Pastore, sometimes I'm an introvert, so sometimes that was all I needed for my week. So yeah, that was
What lesson have you learned this year?
I've learned that sometimes, so I think before I thought to myself, okay, I've kind of came out of a situation where I went straight into work, and so I didn't really have any time to kind of pick myself up and think, what do I want to do as a career? But I've kind of realized actually over a while that I need to just take things slow, and I've got a few years, I've got some time, I can slow down for a bit, and actually I can look at all of my options, and I can be working hard whilst also still not be where I want to be, if that makes any sense. I can work hard with what I've been given and still be looking ahead to what I want to do. So I think that's what I've learned.
Very good. Very good. Really? Josie, you're the student here tonight. Yeah. The only student, because we're not students. we're all in the real world. You know? it's a weird experience. A second year student? Are you?
It's so weird.
So you were a fresher when the thing happened, right?
I was halfway through first year.
My word.
Yeah, and it was. I still remember the day when we had the email that was like, uni's cancelled, like, it's all going online. Everyone was so excited.
Oh, sorry, no.
Everyone was like, we're jumping up and down in the hallway. Like, everyone was just beside themselves with excitement. And then there was
excitement?
That, yeah, because like it was all online. Like, we didn't have to go to lectures. Like, 9 a.m. you could do from bed, you know, all that kind of like ease. And then there was those peak people who packed like a weekend bag and then went home and then had to live with a weekend worth of clothes for months and months.
True.
No way.
And I remember because my mum was like, right, pack up your whole room, like legit pack up everything, bed sheets, like everything. I was like, mum, must be extreme, don't you think? She was like, no, I just got this feeling like you're gonna need to take everything. And I'm so glad that she had that insight, because I remember so many emails about how people were getting their things from halls and like people talking about storage units for the like transition of year groups. And it was so complicated. Crazy. How my mum knew to pack up my entire room, I don't know.
Mums know.
They just have a sense,
Mums
don't they?
Just know.
Yeah.
True. But the experience, because obviously part of the deal is you go to university and that's where you learn to get a little bit of independence and, you know, you discover yourself, whatever even that means. You know? Yeah, I didn't discover anything. I discovered, you know. But well, how was that? And then obviously then lockdown is announced. So you got to go back home again. Was that how was that?
It was really strange, really strange. And I remember talking to my sister, because she's a couple years older than me, so she was in her final year of uni, and she was saying how in your first year, second semester, so the second half of your first year, is when you solidify friendships. The first half, you're just kind of getting to know people, finding your feet. So we were taken away just as we were finding our feet, and just as we were finding the people that we wanted to spend time with. And so I remember when I was at home finding it weird to text people, because I was like, are we on that texting level? Like, I don't know what stage you're at, but I'm going to text you anyway and see, you know. So it was a lot of like just going for it and seeing where people were at and seeing what response you got, because you didn't know. You'd kind of met these people for a few months, just getting to know them, just starting to get to know what they're like, and then you're stripped away from it, and it's so strange.
And did you get responses?
Not many. No, to be fair, I think that's the beauty of this situation, is everyone's in the same boat. So someone approaching me saying, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, yeah, how are you? Like, so good to chat to you, whatever. Like, you're more happy to talk to people you maybe don't know, because you know we're all in this situation. Let's talk about it. How are you doing? What are you up to? Do you have any tips for what's fun at the moment? Or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's as much as I maybe didn't know some of the people I was texting that well, there was always an element of, yeah, let's do this. this together. It's kind of weird, kind of crazy, but we kind of know where we're both at, sort of thing. Yeah. So it's kind of.
But you, and you've done great, though, and all the students at the Junction Church have done great. In fact, you know, just the way that you've got connected in the church, and this, we'll talk a bit more about church in just a moment and the importance of that. I'd like to get your perspective on that. But let's come to Angie. Now, let me talk about Angie. She lives in a detached house with a conservatory. Angie, how much time have you spent in that conservatory? Is it inhabitable in the winter months, or is it so cold?
It's very cold.
Is it really?
It's not.
No heating in it, no?
No, it's not the warmest. So at the moment, it's kind of like a storage room. Okay. But it's a cute storage room. So.
How's it been for you then this year? Because you graduated, yes, though, right?
Yeah. So it was, what a year it's been.
Tell us a story.
I feel like the first 6 months were really intense because we got the news that like uni was basically closed. But on top of that, we were told that we basically have to finish our degree from home. And it's quite, well, I say it's quite funny, but actually it kind of kicked off before that as well, because there was like some university strikes as well. So we hadn't actually been into uni like since like mid-January, maybe beginning of February. Like pay rise and all that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the staff. So we hadn't actually had any teaching since like February.
What?
And then, so third year was like, crazy. I mean, I don't really know what happened to third year, but you know what? It was there.
Do you feel like you've been denied an experience then?
In some ways, yes. I feel more denied. I feel like there's no closure because we haven't had our graduation ceremony.
Yeah.
No, and I don't think we will be having one, which hurts my heart to say, because I really was looking forward
to. It's a real shame.
Yeah.
They're not going to do something to.
There's really been no talk about anything, and not even like for students this year. So
really?
If they're not doing anything for them this year, then they're definitely not talking about us from last year. So yeah, they went from like, that from uni, trying to finish like a degree, and then after that trying to figure out then what am I going to do with my life, and trying to figure out like, oh, so now I have to go enter this big grown-up world of the job market and looking for like my career that I possibly have to do for the rest of my life. And then as well, obviously stuff happening last year with lots of big social movements that were impacting like a lot of people, and specifically talking about like Black Lives Matter.
The murder of George Floyd, which led to
that as well, which really hit the world. And then trying to figure out where I'm gonna live, and then just a bunch of different things. There was a lot going on, and so the year has really just been a roller coaster. Like the highs have been high and the lows have been low, like and I think we can all kind of agree, like it's not all been like rainbows, as I say. So yeah, no, the year, I don't even, it's weird to think that we are like a year on. And like, because I remember this time last year thinking like, I don't even know what this time next year is even going to look like. And what is even going to mean, not just for me, but like for the people in my life as well. And it's weird.
Has anything changed after the Black Lives Matter protests, do you think? I mean, is anything different now than what it was before, or what?
In my heart, I would want to say yes, but I personally don't think as much has changed.
Do you think a moment was missed then, do you think?
I don't think a moment was missed necessarily. I think people were very present in the moment, but I think like people quickly forgot it wasn't a moment thing. It's not a moment, but a movement. And so rightly so, everyone was really like fired up and stirred and wanting to make a change. And people have, I'm not going to discount that. People have actually like gone out and actively like done their research, had conversations and whatnot. But I think there's still so much to be done that like in that moment, I think people thought that that's it, it's cured, like it's done, like we've talked about it, there's no problem anymore. But actually there's such a deep rooted issue that like more than just like a couple weeks of protesting will change.
Huge, really. I mean, it's very difficult to get perspective, I guess, when you're in the moment, because in my heart I think this is a catalyst for change. But then it is the challenge. People can be fired up in the moment, but then change is something that there's got to be something intrinsic that happens.
Definitely.
But obviously as a church, and you know, we're very much on the journey of, you know, we're a church that welcomes people from many different cultures and we celebrate that. And that has been, I think, a great source of help to people during the challenges, not only of what, you know, but just of everything really. for somebody who's who says, Angie, you go to that church too much, you know, or whatever, because I guess there's probably a bit of that goes on, isn't there, for yeah. some people. You don't have a life. Well, you can't have a life. It's 2020, for goodness sake. explain, why does church matter to you?
Ooh.
And in the context of, the past year.
Yeah, no. Church is hard because just in my heart, like, I just know this is where I'm meant to be. Mm-hmm. And I feel like all the tough times of 2020 are really just outweighed by what I was a part of, like, in this church. Mm-hmm. Even, like, in this past, like, the latter 6 months of this whole year. Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting because I finally got a job. And now anyone knows that this job search and this job journey has been...
it's been a long old journey.
At one point, I almost gave up. There was tears. There was, like, who knows what I'm going to do? Like, Lord, you're just going to have to provide. and, like, so I finally got a job in November. And I was supposed to start in December. December rolls around. I didn't start. I was supposed to start in January, I didn't start. Mm-hmm. And then the dates kept getting pushed back and pushed back. And it's quite interesting though, because if I did start that job in November, there's so many things I would have missed out on. And I just think, I have to think, like, God has really continued to bless me. And like, just being a part of this church has continued to bless me. I've been so lucky to be part of a community of just... I love the innovation that comes out of it. Like, I think like, we could have just thrown in the towel. We could have said, you know what, like 2020, there's too much going on. Yeah. See you lot in 2021. Good luck.
We could have been like,
that's an extreme, but we could have given up. But like, I think it's just, I mean, thank you so much, Pastor Roy, for never giving up on us and giving up on this church. And I think like the fact that I like just knowing that you don't give up makes me not want to give up either. Yeah, and knowing that this church doesn't give up, I don't want to give up either. Mm-hmm. I'm a fight until I...
There's tears
in my eyes. I'm on the floor like, Lord, I don't know where we're going next. I'm giving it my all.
Sweat and tears all the way. That's exactly.
Because there's a community of fighters here. And like, there's people that are unwavering and not willing to stop until we... get it right, we do good for the community.
I gotta tell you though, it was so funny because when the pandemic started, and then we realized we read the road ahead, we could see where this thing was heading, we knew that there was going to be a lockdown. We just knew it was just inevitable, so we thought, right, let's get ready.
Yeah,
we made preparations. Do you remember we recorded
eight services in two days.
Honestly, we recorded 8 services over 2 days, right? And to keep us going for the next couple of months, because we didn't really, even us, we didn't really understand how we could make online church work after that. So that would give us some time, and then we would work it out, which we did, of course. Anyway, the first few, you wouldn't believe it. Like, we put up those services, and I was getting emails from Christians who, I don't know why they were peeping in on our church, but they were saying, why are you meeting? Why are you meeting on Sunday? You know, we had done it so well. This is the price of excellence. We had done it so well that people actually thought that there had been a covert operation to get the entire Junction Church. You know, when churches were banned from meeting, we were like the underground church in China. You know, making our way through the woods of Loughborough. Disguised as commanders of the SAS. Go, 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 go! Go to the house of God! And as all these horrible, and I am talking about some of the nastiest, and it demonstrated to me, and I'm going to say it strongly, it was shameful. Yeah. It was shameful what some Christians did during that time, that they wanted to believe the worst of another church.
Yeah.
Well, when they were making their criticisms about another church meeting, the pastor of that church, who was preaching at the same time, was sitting having his having his Horlicks. In fact, I remember somebody coming on, "Is this like, why are you live?" And I was preaching. Yeah. I was preaching on the screen. "Why are you live? Why are you live?" And I came on and personally answered. So it was a bit of a miracle for me to come on here and answer you while I'm preaching. It's telepathic anointing comes on me. it was just madness, isn't it? You know. Anyway, we love you all. You know, but it was great. But that, you know, we kind of made it work. But yeah. And we've had some funny times as well, haven't we? Do you remember during that? You were all there, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The set collapsed. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I just remember. Was it partway through a message or like in the transition? And I just remember we were sat there, and then suddenly there was just this glass crash. And everyone was just like frozen from it, and then was like, huh?
Well, that was it. Because everyone was kind of like, I don't want to move in case we're going to keep using this footage. Yeah. So everyone was kind of like, yep. Oh, yeah, okay.
Nobody
rolling.
Honestly, that's crazy. And like, Pastor is just out here preaching like 8 different messages in 2 days. Yeah. I remember just being sat in that chair, just like, how is this happening? Just as like a feat of human excellence. Yeah.
So
like,
true.
I feel like so it was just like, the thing I loved about those services though was because it was like, it was such a fast turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think similar to Angie, you know, the whole thing about actually, Pastor, because you and Pastor Dia keep fighting, because our church community, just so many fighters in our community, like it's infectious to be a part of.
Yeah. True,
and
sure.
That moment for me is definitely something that I can look back on and just think like, that's my church.
Yeah.
Where like when the chips were down and you know we needed something to do, that we were able to come together and, you know, last minute in 2 days film services to serve people when they were going through one of the most traumatic experiences in life. And
so
I was like,
true.
Man, like, what a memory to be proud of.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but then we decided, right, let's do what we can to serve. So here's the deal. We're a new church. We're a baby church. We don't even have a building. We don't even have a facility. But let's do what we can to serve the community. So we got out and we looked after people and we sent out care packages and we sent out, you know, just behind the scenes, no big deal, didn't make a big deal of it on the social media, supported the health workers on the social, in the NHS, you know, just worked and worked and worked. So when people say, you know, oh, church was closed for a year, well, I say, what? Well, not us. We've never been more open, right?
Yeah.
And actually, I do think that it makes the point. I think that's what that's one of the things that probably lockdown has emphasized, that church is people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I also came to a greater conviction. I've always had this conviction, just like Angie was, but a greater conviction, which is that this thing is unstoppable. When you got people who carry great culture, and here's the deal. This is why we go for positive culture in the Junction Church.
So good.
If we had been negative during the beginning of the lockdown, if we had taken a negative attitude, nothing would have happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing would have got done. We would have just said, "Oh, this is not fair." But we decided, "Come on, let's we could be negative and cynical, but what's the point? Let's be positive. Let's be go-getting. Let's believe for the best in the midst of the worst." All the stuff we've been talking about for years, well, it all came about in the lockdown, and we've really made a big impact, I believe, across Loughborough. With the school packages, we've got like we're inundated with emails from parents saying thank you for loving our kids enough. Just a simple little thing, no big agenda to it. You know, we're not putting in "you must be born again" or something. You know, Bible verses. You know, it's just like blessing the kids. You know.
Yeah.
And putting love from the Junction Church, the amount of response that we've had from that has been amazing. And I'm proud of my church. I'm so proud of everybody. But church is people. And I think that's probably what has been highlighted to me as well. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, we were very, I mean, I think that church is, there's like so many highlights, but I think it, one thing that springs to mind with church for me over the last year is how church comes together for, and just helps one another and serves one another and encourages one another. You know, I mean, looking back, we definitely really appreciated our church family back. It was over the summer of 2020, actually. One of our dear friends, we got news that he'd taken his own life over that summer period.
Yeah.
And that was a really tough one for us to, you know, just get to grips with. And, you know, really shook us, I'd say. But actually, the love that we were able to experience from our church family, you know, from our leaders, from just so many people that just encouraged us, prayed for us, was just amazing. And I mean, you know, I'm so aware that so many people have been through really tough stuff over this year. But I think that there's something about going through really hard stuff together. You know, we've got the joint experience of the pandemic, but then there's all the almost unique, tough stuff that every family has faced, right? Yeah. But then the fact that we've all been going through a really hard season together and encouraged one another through it, prayed with one another through it, helped one another through it, it kind of brings this togetherness that I feel like is stronger than ever before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think, I mean, we've never appreciated our church family more.
Yeah, that's true.
Go on.
I was just going to say, there's so much new stuff that we've tried as well. I think, you know, we've talked about online church and the Sunday services have just got better and better, I think, in terms of how they look. But we've also, even when I think back about all the stuff that we've done, you know, we had like prayers evenings, we've had a games night, we had a quiz, we've Friday night conversation is new from the pandemic. We've been running alpha courses online. I think we've done two and there's another one to come.
We've done equip
courses online. There are so many things that have come out of this and so many people that have been touched in so many different ways. Kind of goes back to what you were saying, Angie, about like the innovation, that drive and that push to say this isn't a time to sit down and roll over. This is a time to say, okay, so that's what we can't do, but what can we do for people? It's been amazing.
I love it.
And I was going to say as well, with that, like Becca was saying, the innovation, actually a lot of the stuff that you see on online church isn't stuff that we tried before. People took on so many new roles that you wouldn't even know existed. And I think what a lot of people probably don't realize on the other side of the camera is that for like every one person on stage, there's probably another five people behind the scenes working, like just working throughout the week, thinking, oh, how can I figure this out? What do other churches do so that we can so that we can kind of get this standard of excellence? And I think different from kind of businesses and organizations, they do it so that they can further their product. And people might think, oh, we're trying to further our product. That's not it, actually. It's the heart of it, which is that actually every person does it with the heart of, we want to reach people. And like we said, there's that element of, we're putting actions to our words. Not just, before lockdown, we said a lot of things about community. We said a lot of things about how we can help people, but actually we're actually now putting it into practice. We're going to do everything that we can to go out there and be what the community needs. And I think that's what the Junction Church has. It has people that are ready to put those actions to their words.
That's really been evident. It's really inspiring as well, because like we've been doing this for a year. So you would have thought, you know, we would have gotten, you know, stuck for ideas or stuck for inspiration. But just taking an example of Student Hangout, that's coming up to its first year. Like it's turned one. And it's like, that's 52 weeks of doing the same thing on Zoom every week.
Of insane games on Zoom.
It's gotten better and better. We're like nearly at week 52. I know the game that we're playing on Monday and it is phenomenal. It's going to be so good. And it's just unbelievable that in a time that's been really tough for all of us, in a time when we've been forced into being like, to being in an innovative, how do you say that word?
Innovative,
that's the one.
You want to become a nun? sorry, I misheard that, Josie. We can drive you down to the local nunnery this evening.
Yeah, I can never say that word. But it's just amazing how, you know, we've done it for 52 weeks and we're going to do it for longer. And yet our ideas are not drying up. We're not feeling tired by it. We're loving it. People are still loving it. There's still new people joining every week. And we've been doing it for a year. That's a long time. Yet there's still so much success coming from it. It's just so encouraging.
I love I love that. And I feel like touching on the new people thing, I know we don't really like focus on numbers, but I feel like it's absolutely incredible that we're not just Loughborough, Leicester, Nottingham, but we're worldwide. We got people watching We got people watching in from like across the globe, and not even just watching, but then getting plugged into like live groups and getting plugged into midweek stuff. And I think that's absolutely incredible, because like, I mean, that wouldn't have happened if we were just meeting in person. Like people might have heard about the Junction Church like across the pond, but like like getting connected in and knowing that actually what we're doing, I mean, we always knew what we did isn't contained to four walls, but I feel like this is just a real testament to it. And also I find it so interesting as well that like we started to meet people online before we met them in person. Which is like, and then you meet someone, you're like, hi, I've seen you on Zoom, but like now in real life. And like a whole, like there's a whole different type of like dynamic of like community. But I feel like the fact that community hasn't suffered, like in so many ways, people have been impacted by our church community, like us as individuals or people watching. And I think it's just so incredible that community is so, so strong. Like people have really just taken this time to continue to love on other people in like a even greater way, rather than just like, you know, it could be easy to just remain isolated and think about an inward focus. But the church in itself has had such an outwardly focus has been so great.
I think all those points are really, really brilliant, actually. And just in terms of coming out of this season, hopefully we're going to be making an exit from lockdown, and we can get back to some kind of normality again. And hopefully with people getting vaccinated. By the way, I have not received my vaccine yet because I'm not old enough.
That's a good thing.
I just wanted to highlight
25 forever posture. 25
forever. As young as you feel.
You know, just at the time when I was... Yeah, anyway, The big thing, I think, the big impact, I guess, that this pandemic could have on many people is fear. And that would be one of the things that, as a pastor, I am really praying that people will not develop a spirit of fear. And now I get it. We've got to be careful.
Yeah.
And we've got to make sure that we're doing all the things that the government say we should do. You know, when meetings are happening, wearing masks, keeping social distancing, etc. We have no problems. But we just want to make sure that we don't give in to a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
I would say to everybody today, you know, if fear is keeping you, and I'm going to say something strong, but I want you to really take it on board. If fear is keeping you away, for example, from attending a church service or from booking in, that is not God. I want to say that. That is not God. Well, how do you know? Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind.
Come on.
Let's talk about fear. When you've had a year of dreadful figures of people passing away because of this horrible virus, and you've had fear in terms of the media, and fear, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, when everybody was afraid of pretty much doing anything, that has an impact on people. How do we overcome that, Becca?
I see you looking at me. I know it's going. It is really difficult, isn't it? And I think we've kind of touched on people having their own unique challenges, and I don't think anyone's got through this year without seeing something that would justifiably make you afraid, if that makes sense. I think we've all seen something like that. And I think it's having that ability both to trust. I think, you know, that verse is one of my favorites about God did not give you a spirit of fear and timidity, but one of power and love and a sound mind. And actually, I think trusting that and what you said before, Pastor Roy, about feel the fear, but do it anyway. It's not about saying, I'm not afraid. And it's not about being foolish. It's about saying, I know that I'm afraid, but I also know that I believe in something greater, and that life has more to it than lockdown and isolation and fear. I think
very good. Any other thoughts on that? How do we, because obviously you're a TRG leader, and I don't know, do you think the pandemic has caused fear in a new generation? Do you get that sense or not?
I think it has in different ways. I think similarly, the fear of being around people, especially because it's been like chop and change of whether we're in school or we're not in school, and then like how classes are conducted and whatnot. But I think also like the fear of like the future as well, and like what they're doing now, does it even reflect on what's going to happen in the future? Like what's the point? And I feel like, I love what you're saying, Becca, about, you know, fear is a real thing, and I think we've all been fearful, and we're all probably a bit apprehensive about what's yet to come. But actually knowing that there's something greater, and I love what you always say, Pastor Roy, you know, faith is the antidote to fear, and having a faith stance rather than a fear stance in our situations. I know it sounds maybe easier said than done, because when you're in the midst of it, like the fear is really overwhelming. But when you remember that actually God hasn't given you fear, that's not from God, but you have faith, and you have every reason to trust in God's word and his consistency. And I think for this new generation, fear is a big thing, and is like impacting their mental health on like a significant level. But I feel like, you know, really like being advocates of like having faith in situations is really helpful. Like seeing that played out, not just spoken about, but actually actively having faith, and you know, going forward like that can really help.
Really love that. Really love that. And so, and I wanted to mention, just bring that up, because I want to really, I'm praying for anybody who's struggling with fear. You think, oh, I'm afraid, I'm a bit afraid, afraid of, it's not just the virus, but afraid of getting back to interactions again or whatever. Don't let the spirit of fear stop you getting on with it and getting along to God's house. One of the other things I think we've learned this year is that being a Christian without church is like going into a fish and chip shop without there being any fish and chips. The experiment of you can be a Christian without going to church. Well, of course you can, but I think this year, if it's taught us anything, it's that church really matters. If ever somebody wanted to do a big national experiment of having a year where people don't go to church, I think that you would find that at the end of this year, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, I think that a lot of people have really struggled in their relationship with God this year. And I think a lot of people have really struggled to develop and grow in their relationship with God. And in a sense, that is not a surprise to me. I don't know if anybody here has had that experience or would want to, you know, be open or honest about that. But if that is the case, I don't think that should be a surprise, because actually, you're not meant to do this thing in isolation. The whole point of our faith is that it's outworked in community. That's why it talks about church and so on. And so church is not just a good community, but there's a spiritual principle there, don't you think, that really matters?
Yeah, well, just thinking about as you're talking, and just thinking about Jesus and how he kind of gave us an example. And Jesus' example was 12 disciples, not one disciple. Jesus didn't have kind of a closed off, it's just me. Even Jesus got himself into community. Even Jesus had 12 people around him who were doing similar things. And then also the concept that even after he left, he said, like, go and make disciples. And so go and do what I've shown you. Go and create this community of people who believe in the same thing, it's who really are fighting good. For you, who can pick you up when you've fallen down, and who you can pick up when they've fallen down. And I don't think that Christianity was ever supposed to be a lone wolf thing. I think it was always supposed to be done in the context of community. And I think that... even then, we're given the example of Judas, who fell, even though he was in community. And so if we can fall, even though we're in community, there's even more of a chance that if we're by ourselves, we're going to struggle. And so that makes perfect sense to me. I think that's what...
But then we talk about culture. Let's talk about that. I feel like we're on a bit of a, let's talk church theme tonight. Because, and I guess the reason for this is because we're preparing for in-person services again. But culture really matters. It really, really matters, because culture is determines, it either carries vision to life or it crushes vision to death. That's culture. So if it's a mean-spirited, negative culture, cynical, can't do kind of culture, you're going to get that. Then that's the vibe you're going to get. Whereas if it's a positive culture, where if it's go-getting, if it's come on, we can do this, if it's honoring and honorable and so on, then anything is possible. And actually, the honor, a culture of honor, is the culture, the atmosphere for the miraculous to happen. I was just thinking, I'm going so off script, good. But it's good, so I'll stick with it.
It's great.
When Jesus went to Nazareth, there's one translation that says that it doesn't just say that he did not do miracles when he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, but it says he could not do any miracles. I thought this was fascinating. When Jesus returned to Nazareth, he could not do any miracles. Now, why could he not do miracles? Was it because the assumption would be, well, because they didn't believe in miracles. That's not true. They totally believed in miracles. So the people in Nazareth, when Jesus returned, believed in miracles. So what was the issue? The issue was that they took offense at Jesus. In other words, they liked his miracles. They didn't like him. They dishonored him. And it was in that context that Jesus is, a prophet is without honor in his own city, and so on. And he's trying to teach us something about how that in a culture of honor, wonderful miracles happen. And I think that that really is a challenge, especially coming out of lockdown. The danger, I think, that coming out of lockdown is that we're all in this sort of post-traumatic stress where we've come through a traumatic experience. There can be a lack of grace, a lack of honor. Mm. We can be panicking and so on. And actually, in God's house, there are some cultural values that must reflect the kingdom. One of them is a culture of honor. Uh-huh. Yeah. How important would you say that is? Speak to that.
Oh, my word. I mean, I think it's huge. I mean, I think honor in particularly is a massively important value, because I think of it this way, that one of the chief values of the church is that it's inclusive and that it's open to people coming in. And I loved how on Sunday there was the quote from, I believe it was Archbishop William Temple, about how the church exists for its non-members. And I think to myself, well, okay, if I'm not in church and I come along to church and actually the culture is like negative and it's like gossipy and it's backbiting and it is putting down people, well, I think to myself, oh gosh, if I come here, they're going to say that about me. And so then maybe I don't come back. And I was having this, you know, conversation with somebody the other day, and we were just reflecting on how crucial it is that actually at church, it's somewhere where people come along and they're actually almost shocked by the level of encouragement and how building up people are and how affirming people are. Because number one, that makes people feel safe to come back, because it's like, oh, actually, if I come back here, I can feel like, you know, people aren't gonna turn around and be like, oh, there's that new guy, or like, oh, there's that new girl, you know, like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. It's like, no, actually, like, that's so not the thing, and that's so not our culture at church. And I love that, because actually, you know, whether it's online, whether it's in person, we just have people coming in all the time. I know that Josie, you shared before about student hangout, and how actually even on Zoom, like, there is that culture that is endemic in the fabric of who we are at church, that even when people come online, they go away being like, wow, like, that's a Zoom call that I've never had before.
Touching on that, because I know a lot of people, especially like students, find it awkward being online or coming into a room full of new people, and in that sense, for me, it's even more important to make sure like I'm standing for a culture of honor and a culture of encouragement, because I think it's like, sad to say, but that isn't people's experience of church in many situations. So it's almost like we've got to go above and beyond to disprove that and like change the norm. And because I remember coming to uni, and that was a really important factor for finding a church. I wanted it to be a cool church that I could invite people who had never spoken to me about church before. And that's why I love the Junction Church, because it's exactly that.
But and I love that. That's amazing. I love it. I think as well, you know, the point is that if you do church, but church does not reflect the culture of the kingdom of heaven, it's not church, is it? It's really not. If we meet together, but there's no reflection of the values of heaven's culture in that church community, it's not church. It's a club. I think we need to have the honesty to say that it's just a club.
It's
a club. It's a social thing. We get together, you know, whatever. But if for example, you know, we talk about a culture of honor, because honor is like one of the highest values of God's kingdom. You know, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be. That is a culture of honor, isn't it? And for me, this is really important. I think one of the things that probably you observe as well, because we've all spent a lot more time online this year, even compared to what we ever did before. And you see sometimes how Christians interact with one another on the social media, and you know, for example, Facebook or whatever, and it reiterates to me time and time again, you know, especially when they get into theological battles and lock horns over this and that. You think, but do you not understand, though, that there's like people looking at that who don't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
true.
Do you not understand that there's people looking at what you've just written who actually are not Christians and are looking at that saying, you're no different from the world. That's just no different from the way that my, you know, my mates talk on their social media. And I think that this culture has got to permeate into everything, into our social media interactions, into our conversations.
So
if there's a revolution that I think the church needs to have in this season moving forward, it's a cultural revolution. In other words, we've got to understand the church is not a club where I can just do whatever I want. This is God's house.
Amazing.
We've got to carry the culture of other, it's got to be a true representation of God's house. Otherwise it's really missing the point. I feel like this is something that the Holy Spirit is actually trying to say to us in these days as well. Any thoughts on any of that?
I think it kind of like ties into it being like a heart issue, in the sense of like what you're valuing, what you rooted in, what is the root of, like, if we're talking about like interactions online, what's the win of maybe being a cynic or maybe trying to catch somebody out? What is the heart issue behind that? And I feel like it ties into that verse of, you know, do not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed. But actually, and we did a whole teaching series about, you know, a transformed life and the whole idea of the Holy Spirit constantly working through us to renew us. And I feel like that ties into the whole why we can't do it by ourselves, why we need to be in community, we need to be in church, why we need to have a kingdom outlook, is actually because that is what renews us and that is what gives us that outwardly focus and that sometimes it challenges the heart of actually, you know, and sometimes it can be a humbling experience because you're thinking, I'm good. But God's like, and the Holy Spirit's like, just you win. But so we need that to, as you said, to like bring these kingdom values. Like, you know, the church is not like the world and we're not supposed to be like the world. Like you were talking about on Sunday, like the church is the center and the world is around it. And in the middle of church is like Christ. And actually we are reflecting Christ-like values. We shouldn't be like everyone else. We should be different. We should be the light. We should be led by the Holy Spirit. Just to follow up your point,
Go on, Gordon.
Oh, I was just going to say, just kind of reflecting on that scripture of you will build your church and the gates of Hades won't prevail. And just thinking about the fact that if God's not building it, then it's not his church. And I think the
that's
way
like
that
the
God
tweet
builds
from
it.
Tonight.
What's that, sorry?
That's like the tweet from tonight. Oh my gosh. Well, if God's not building it, it's not his church. Wow.
Well, it's just the idea of the fact that, you know, when Jesus was on earth, he honored people and that's how he got the best out of them. Yeah. Thinking of like his interaction with the woman at the well, and how through honor, Jesus actually pulled out kind of purpose in people's lives. And if we learn to do that as a church, instead of like backbiting and, you know, crawling over each other to get to the top, that's how we'll pull the best out of people.
And you know that you're developing honor in your life when you hear something about somebody. You've got a choice in that moment to either believe the worst or to believe the best. And you know that you're developing a culture of honor when your default is, I choose to believe the best.
Definitely.
Now, if there's evidence to the contrary, then that, you know, we would obviously have to deal with that when it comes. But so often the challenge, I think, with Christians is that we are so quick to believe the worst. No evidence. No, I mean, it was like that incident. And it was a sort of a, you know, I laughed it off. But when we were meeting, when we organized all those pre-arranged meetings as a church, and then you had the Christians coming, and we made sure we said pre-recorded, trying to do everything we could. But when you had people coming on, assuming the worst, I think that that sort of demonstrated to me, oh my, what a cultural revolution we've got to embark on. And I just think that if the Holy Spirit's saying anything to us as we move forward, is that we must not just be like the world. If we're just like the world, we might as well just finish and close. Because what's the point? If we're just like the world, if we just operate like the world operate, what's the point? What is the point? We say that God loves you for who you are. That is only 50% of the truth. That is only 50% of the truth. God loves you for who you are. No, he loves you for who you are, but he loves you too much to allow you to stay that way. So all those scriptures that talk about being transformed, you know, by the renewing of your mind, being transformed, 2 Corinthians 3, from glory to glory. It's that Jesus, if we're doing this thing right and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to challenge us, we are to be transformed in our lives so that we are becoming more like Jesus. So that the culture that I carry, or we say the vibe that I carry, the culture I carry is a sense of the culture of God's kingdom. Now, that's not to say we're perfect or we always get it right. My word, you know, I can only speak for myself. I get it wrong time and time again. But it's that challenge of being changed, you know, constantly yielding ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. And that for me is what church is all about. And that's that is more important than ever before, I feel, for us to grasp that. Because when we enter into this new season, when, you know, a lot of stuff is just being taken right back the way we had our services before, we can't quite have it like that. Actually, the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, but You know, even if the music's different, even if people can't sing, you've still got to be the expression of my house. So, did God cause all of this COVID situation? I don't believe that for a moment. But is God using this situation? Is God working in the midst of it, despite it? I totally believe that, I think that's a sense of what the Holy Spirit's doing. Don't you think?
Come on.
I was going to say on that quickly. I think that I really like that everyone's used very like active words about that. That I think the something that the world forgets is the active process of trying to change. I think one of the dangers of the world and of other culture is that apathy of I'm good how I am and that's fine. And I think something that I love about this church and about what I think that the church should be, what I think the Bible says the church should be, is that it is an active process of transformation, which is us saying, I want to run after a heart for Christ, but that means I've got to run, you know, that doesn't mean standing there and being like, all right then, God, you change me. But going for it, which is,
well, exactly. It's about, you know, not being consumerist, you know, if I only come along, just for what I can get out of it, you know, whatever, whatever. Again, that's worldly. That's just worldly. Whereas if I'm coming along to contribute and to participate and to play my part and to be an encourager and to make a difference and to play my part as a member of the body of Christ, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 12, then that's the way that it should be, isn't it? And it's almost like, you know, the Holy Spirit is clearly speaking in the midst of everything that's happening at the moment. Challenging us to really be sort of salt and light, especially in a volatile world. And I have to say, a nasty world, a really nasty world. On social media is just shocking at times, isn't it? I just cannot believe the kinds of things that people say on social media. I've kind of backed off social media quite a bit, actually. I only do the Instagram every now and then. I joined the TikTok. I got 13 followers on the TikTok. Is that
possible? Poster, you're more current.
Would that be the most followers anybody has on the TikTok?
I don't even have any followers on TikTok.
Hang on, what? Are you on the TikTok?
Not at all.
Wow.
No.
The only social media platform I use is Instagram, and I use that to post stuff, and then I leave normally, or memes. I post and then I meme and then I leave.
Angie, are you on the TikTok?
I am on TikTok, yeah.
I believe you're one of my followers on the TikTok.
Yes, I am.
I believe I follow you as well, but I've not seen any TikToking. And I looked on yours because you're meant to be the TERG leader, TRG.
My account is private because I just watch TikToks. I really don't. I really just watch it. I don't post.
So if your account is private
and
I follow you, does that mean that there are pre-produced TikTok videos on there that you have not yet released for the general public?
I can neither confirm or deny.
Josie, are you on the TikTok?
So you know, I was conflicted, and then I heard church got TikTok, so I was like, oh, I've got to get on that, haven't I? So I'm more of a supporter of church on TikTok than I am an actual TikToker.
I have
TikTok
to observe that I was kicked numerous times in the face by a TikTok video recently. John Coyle kicked me in my face.
Where's the honour?
Where's the honour in that?
That honour in his hometown.
He's kicking the, you better get to church or else. You know, anyway, are you on the,
I'm not on the TikTok. I've only just made it to Instagram. I'm a bit, medieval.
I got on Instagram during lockdown for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Wow. No, you take lovely pictures.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Every time I see a picture of you, you know. Here's what I think. When I see a picture of you, I think, Becca, why are you not at work?
Yeah. That's not the first time I've heard that, Pastor.
You'd be saving lives. This is COVID. It's COVID-19, Becca. Come on.
Wow. I know I'm out. Take a hike.
It's not a field. We need you in the trenches, not in the field.
Part-time doctoring.
Honestly. Well, you're
full-time social media influencer.
Well, let's wrap this up then. It's been good. Mm-hmm. Have you learned any new skills during the this
skills? Year? Actually, yep. When you were asking earlier about what we've learned, I was going to say like how silly it is to plan 2 weeks in ahead, 3 weeks in ahead, because I feel like these days you just got to plan for the next day. You just don't know what's going to happen. You can't predict it that far ahead. Mm. So I'm kind of learning to plan more locally than miles away. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So let's take a scenario. You plan for Saturday, but Jesus might come back on Friday.
Wow. Well, let's think Saturday's too far, maybe. You've got to go tonight, after this. Mm.
That got real deep real quick.
Hey, well, Jesus, after one day, honestly, Lord.
Got plans.
Any new skills?
Because
you're both dab hands in the kitchen, aren't you?
I'm not. Jane is. Oh. I'm not the cook.
Jane's is this cooking really that good?
It is.
See, Becca puts herself down there. She can make a mean ramen.
Ooh.
Becca's dish is a noodle ramen.
Now, let me just stop you there.
Here we go.
What is that?
Over to the master.
Well.
Gordon, have you... I'm joking.
Have you ever been to Wagamama's?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. That, like,
is it Japanese?
Noodle, like the hot... Yeah.
So good.
It's the reason I can make it is because it's secretly quite simple to make, but it's in like an impressive, it's like a party dish, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
It's really cool.
Well, I learned to make the most amazing bread. Do you know what the problem was?
Go on.
I was eating it all.
More bread in the morning.
Difficulty.
Oh my god.
I would make this bread and I was like, yeah, I deserve this.
Yes. All the hard work.
Have you learned any new skills during the lockdown?
I have. I now know how to make a mean French toast. That's now my thing.
Talk us through that then.
So you basically have to get, it's like a quarter cup of milk, teaspoon of cinnamon, half a teaspoon of vanilla extract, whisk it up, then you dip your bread in it, both sides for like a few seconds.
Find somebody from France.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And then ask them to watch it as they make French bread, because none of those ingredients are French. But somehow, when they are combined with the bread, they become French. I don't understand that.
Yep.
But there you go. Dual nationality.
Yep.
Born in England, raised in France.
Are macaroons? I'm lost. Macaroons are French, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Because their president's called Emmanuel Macaroon, isn't he? That was an attempt at a terrible dad joke there. Okay, very good. French toast. Yeah, very good. Toast. In England, they call it eggy bread, though.
That's true. See, this is the thing. I've seen
white van man calls it eggy bread, mate. Whereas it's French toast, you know.
Français bois. I don't know how to speak French. I don't even know why I attempted that. I knew I'd say something silly by the end of this.
Angela, you would say me.
Munch two. Anyway, Angie, new skills?
No new skills. Sounds bad. Like, what have I done for a year?
You graduated uni, mate.
I have like enjoyed old things. So I started a puzzle. I didn't finish it, but I started it. Yeah.
Wow.
I started and I got like 3/4 of the way through, and then I had to move house. So I had to destroy it.
That's actually awesome.
Was the puzzle to find a new house then? Was that the end?
No.
I knew moved on to a new one.
I didn't finish it. No new house. No. And then also, I've started my walking trend. Because you know what?
Yeah.
I found so
funny. What's that again? You're...
My walking. I started to walk. One thing that always made me laugh at the beginning of lockdown. Do we all remember when all of these running challenges were a thing?
I said
people don't tag me because I will not do it.
No, exactly. I never partook of that.
Yeah, someone tagged me. I didn't do it. But
I'm telling you, that was distinctly the voice of Satan.
That's the only thing I ever run for. Yeah. But, Jesus.
But now it's calmed down. I've decided I'm going to start walking. So
very good. Very good. Well, you've all done great. So we're back again for. Do you know what, and by the way, do you know what I love about, I've just been dying to say this for ages, do you know what I love about Friday Night Conversation? It makes me think. F-N-C. Think, yeah.
So good.
Anyway, that went down like a lead balloon. But I've just been dying to say that now. The weeks I've not been here, I think the next time I go on, I'll say that. You know? Cheap laugh and all that. Makes me think. Yeah, F-N-C. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So we're back again at last Friday of April, which is the...
Friday the 30th of April.
Friday the 30th of April. We're back. However, the great news is that we're back for in-person services, which is really exciting. We're going to have... We have two services on Good Friday evening, 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Uh-huh. It looks like those services are pretty much packed, as far
amazing.
As we can fit as many people in with social distancing. In fact, we may even need to add more services.
Come on.
Keep going like that.
So good.
And then, of course, we've got Easter Sunday. And listen, if you're going to go to church, you might as well go on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. Well, you might as well every Sunday, but Easter Sunday is a good start because that's Resurrection Sunday. That's the most important date in the Christian calendar. Mm-hmm. And our services are pretty full for that one as well. So we've got 10 a.m., 11 a.m. in Loughborough. It's 10 a.m., 11. Check the website. I'm not of a mind to go through all the service time right now. You do the work, okay? You run after. Jesus didn't say, I'll run after you. You run after him.
So
make sure you come along and be a part of our services. It's going to be great, and we can't wait to see you there. And we're going to be continuing FNC then on Friday nights once a month, where we'll talk about some juicy subjects and make it interesting and bring some perspective and bring a faith perspective as well. We really want to encourage you. So have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Friday for Good Friday. For the services, it's going to be amazing. And then not this weekend, obviously, but next weekend is the return of services. But don't forget, this weekend is our final online service, official online service. And then we're going to continue online services after that, but it will be live streaming one of the services at 11 a.m. So that good. Means you'll, if you're watching from an international viewpoint, vantage point. You get my drift. It's the end of the year. My brain's not working now. You can still watch the service and still be a part of our community online. So I hope you have a wonderful night. Thanks for being with us tonight. And final question, what are you going to do now?
Good question. Eat?
Yep.
Dinner?
Yeah.
I don't know what, agree. But dinner?
Yeah.
Maybe something easy?
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Jonah's already cooked like a champion, so it's ready at home.
Ooh, that's organisation.
Me, Revs. bunch of vicars hang out down there, reverends. This is what I do. I love to shock, you see, in my ministry, you know.
Do they have any burgers down there, Pastor? I might have to join you.
You can't. You're not a reverend.
But can't you get like honorarily ordained?
You stick with me. I'll get you
there. Thank you, Pastor.
Little online training program. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Just get some food.
Yeah.
And then sleep.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the end of a long term. So
it's basically sums up lockdown, that, doesn't it? I'm going to get some food and then sleep.
Absolutely. That's all I need. Wake up on Saturday, who knows what time.
Yeah, you in summary.
And Angie?
Yeah, I'm just going to go home and eat dinner.
Good.
Yeah.
Well deserved. I'm going to go home to my wife and child right now and see to them. And, that makes me sound like an 18th century. Have a wonderful night.
See you
soon. Bye.